Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve.
How many of you like M&M's? Any M&M fans? I like M&M's. I really like M&M's. Like, my whole life, if I go to the movies, I like popcorn, but I would much rather have M&M's. I eat M&M's one at a time. Like, I savor each one. I let each one melt in my mouth. Early in our relationship with my wife, I discovered that she eats M&M's one handful at a time. We went to a movie early on, and we shared a bag of M&M's. And I had eaten maybe like five M&M's, and I put in my fingers, and there was nothing in the bag. I was like, what the... And then I realized that she had eaten the whole bag in the time I ate four of them. And so I looked at her and I said, this relationship is not going to work. We are done. We're done. Somehow we made it through the great M&M crisis, but we have not shared a bag of M&M since, and we never will. Around 1991, 1992, I discovered something better than M&M's. Peanut butter M&M's. Yeah? Peanut butter. Oh, all right. I like M&M's. I love peanut butter M&M's. So they sell these in a normal size bag, and then they sell them in the sharing size bag for two people. I buy the sharing size bag, but I don't share the sharing size bag. I eat all the M&M's because twice as many peanut butter M&M's is twice as good, if you ask me. And I think these M&M's represent a lie that many of us have come to believe. It's a lie that our culture teaches us, and it is a lie that we have to battle because it is so easy to believe. It's a lie that if one is good, two is better. Twice as much is always twice as good, right? Like, if having your kid play one sport is good, having him play two sports is better. If having a 1,000 square foot house is good, having 2,000 square feet is better. If having one car is good, well, having two cars is better. We always want what we don't have. We want more. We want more. This lie that's so easy to believe, we see it going all the way back to the beginning of humanity. In the Bible tells us about God creating the first ever person and then this first ever woman, and he gives themselves to each other. And then he gives them this incredible garden paradise to live in, every kind of fruit tree imaginable. And God says, you can have everything except for just the fruit of just this one tree. But what does the man end up wanting? The one thing he can't have. He's like, I can't enjoy everything because there's something I can't have. We think more is always better. I'm like this too. I like more. This is why I love Texas Day Brazil. I don't know if you've ever been to this place, but the Brazilian steakhouse, I love it when other people are paying because it's expensive. But every once in a while, somebody will take me there, and like, you've got these guys walking around with these skewers of meat. And at Texas Day Brazil, more is normal. Like, they just keep bringing it. It's a feeding frenzy in reverse. The food comes to you. They don't stop. And I had a friend take me here earlier this year, take me to Texas Day Brazil, and we were eating, and I ate more, and then I ate more, and I ate more, and I started to feel more sick and more sick. And I started to think, oh man, like, I have to go to the bathroom. I hope I can wait till the end of dinner because I'm going to be in the bathroom for a while. And I did. I made it to the end of dinner, and we went to leave, and we got to the front door. And I said, man, it was so great seeing you. And he said, you too. And I said, I'm just going to run in the bathroom. Good to see you, man. Shook his hand. And I went to the bathroom. And I was in there a long, long time. And so I come out of the bathroom, and I go to leave, and he's standing at the door. My friend, I was like, why are you still here? And he said, I forgot I had to ask you something. And I said, I was in there a long time, wasn't I? And he said, you sure were. And I said, let's never speak of this night again. Oh, man. I learned that night that more is not always better. So we're in a series called Better. We're trying to learn about the better life that God has for us and how do we live that life. And I think today's message could have a really positive impact in your life if you let it. It's going to be hard. The deal is this. The lesson I'm going to teach you today, you will learn it. Absolutely, you will learn it. You can learn it the easy way or the hard way. You can learn it today, or you can learn it when you're on your deathbed at the end of your life, looking back at all the years with regret. You can learn it today, or you can learn it on the other side of eternity when you think back on your life and wish you could go and live it again. But you can't go back. And so let's learn it today so we don't have to have those regrets. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard because this idea is so prevalent in our culture and so easy for us to believe. But God tells us that more is not necessarily better. Sometimes less is better. Here's what I want you to remember. It's better to have less of what doesn't matter and more of what does. It's better to have less of what doesn't matter and more of what does. The Bible has a lot to say about this. Here's one of the great verses I like about this, Ecclesiastes 4:6. We're going to put all the Bible verses on the screen, so they'll be up there for you to read. And if you don't own a Bible, like at home, we'd love to give you one today as a free gift at the Velcro Bar, which is our connecting place. If you have any questions, if you want to get connected, if you want a free Bible after the service. Ecclesiastes 4:6 says, "Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind." It says better, there's our word, right? Here's what's better. Better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. So it's saying, listen, if you have some and tranquility, meaning peace, right? Contentment, that is better than having more if more also comes with toil, meaning extra work, extra stress. And it says more if more comes with chasing after the wind. The idea of that is that you're always chasing after something that you can never catch. It's this elusive feeling that I always need more and I can never have it. Social scientists who do like studies of people, they've discovered in just about everybody what they call the hedonic principle. The hedonic principle. It's the idea that whatever you have, you will adapt to that amount and want more. And so you pursue it and you get it, and then you adapt to that amount and you want more. And then you get that amount and you're like, I got it. And then you adapt to that amount and you want more. And that more is never enough for anybody. We always feel like I need a better job, more income, more possessions, more success. We always want more. We're always chasing after the wind. So we need to learn that less can be better. We could say it this way, kind of like that verse said, better one handful than two. Now, why would one handful be better? Well, it's not just less stress and less never-ending pursuit of more with one handful, but also, if I have one handful, you know what else I have? I have a free hand, right? And if I have a free hand, that means if someone needs me to help them up, I can help them up. But with one handful, I have a free hand. And so if someone needs some encouragement, I can give it to them. With one handful, I have a free hand. And so if someone needs something, I can give them what they need. See, if I'm not always doing everything I can, if I'm not always pursuing more, if I'm not spending everything I have, that gives me some freedom. And I can use that freedom to serve other people. Better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil. If one handful is enough, well, then I just need to learn to be content with one handful and to be generous. Jesus talked about this a lot. Jesus actually talked about this more than just about anything else he talked about. I want to show you one example. So in the Bible, in a book called Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 15 on the screen. Then he is Jesus, said, "Beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own." So he says, beware, be on your guard against greed. Why? Because the lie that more is better is everywhere. It's pervasive and it's so easy to believe. It's so easy to buy into that lie. So man, you have to be like guarding against it all the time. Don't get suckered in by greed. Why? Jesus says, because your life is not measured by how much you own. That is not what makes a life. It's not about having big stuff, better stuff. It's not. And to illustrate this, he tells a story starting in verse 16, next verse. So then he told them a story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, what should I do? I don't have room for all my crops. Then he said, I know, I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you worked for? After the story, Jesus kind of sums up the lesson and applies it to us when he says in verse 21, yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth but not have a rich relationship with God. Jesus says, listen, if you live always wanting two handfuls, always thinking twice as much is twice as good, always wanting more instead of less, you're a fool. By the way, that's about the most harshest, aggressivest, I know those aren't words, word that Jesus ever uses. Like, that's the bad word with Jesus. You're a fool, Jesus says, because you can't live like that and really live for God. You're a fool because you've lived for this short life instead of the eternal life to come. And I'm convinced that God doesn't care so much about what we have. He just doesn't want what we have to have us. We're so obsessed about what we want. We pray for it. Sometimes we get upset if God doesn't give it to us. We wonder, why, God, why? What if God doesn't think what we want is such a big deal? What if God thinks what we want is actually a bad deal for us? God doesn't care so much about what we have. He just doesn't want it to have us. He wants us to be rich towards what really matters. That's why it's better to have less of what doesn't matter, and more of what does. Better one handful with tranquility than two with toil and a chasing after the wind. So, if it's better to have what does matter, I think we need to really clearly define what does matter. That seems to be like a critical thing we need to do in our lives. And I wonder if maybe some of you are like, I don't know if I know. I'm not sure like what really matters. If you're thinking that, I can help you, okay? Here's what we'll do. I want you to imagine that you go to the doctor. It may just be like your annual checkup kind of thing. But your doctor walks in with a frown on his face and says, I've got really bad news. You have 30 days to live. Pretty sure you've got 30 days to live. What would you do in those 30 days? What's important to you at that moment is what's important to you. Right? What would be important to you if you knew you had only 30 days to live? What people typically say in response to that question is, well, God, like knowing God, loving God, pleasing God, being at peace with God, that'd be important to me. My family, like my spouse, my kids, siblings, parents, like I would want to love them and try to leave a godly legacy for them. My church, the spiritual family that God's given me. Making a difference, feeling like I did my best to make my life matter, helping people know Jesus, like I'd want to talk to my friends and family who don't believe in Jesus, try to help them to understand Jesus. Typically, that's what people will say. But let me tell you what no one says in that moment when they realize they have 30 days to live. No one says the amount of money in my bank account. That's what matters to me. No, it won't in that moment, right? No one says the size of my house, the high score on the game, my salary, the kind of car I drive, the kind of countertops I have in my kitchen, the number of Twitter followers I have, whether my kid was good at soccer or baseball or piano. There will come a day where we will realize none of that mattered. But that's what we spend so much of our time on now, right? That's what we focus on. I mean, think about that. We are obsessed with what doesn't matter. And we often ignore what really matters. That's crazy. God says, beware, like guard against greed. You would be a fool to accumulate lots of what doesn't matter and then die one day and realize that you ignored what does matter. Better one handful with tranquility than two with toil and chasing after the wind. So I think the question becomes, practically speaking, how can we live a one handful life? If we've been trying to pursue and have two hands, so how do we get a one handful life? Well, I think after we define what does matter, we need to let go of what doesn't matter. We have to be willing to let go of what doesn't matter, which is really hard because we have been taught all our lives, you gotta grab two handfuls. But we're gonna let go of things that don't matter. I like the way the Bible talks about this in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 1. It says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, so we can run the race with perseverance that's marked out for us. And so the idea is that God has a race marked out for your life. God has a purpose for your life. God has a plan for your life. God put you in this world to live a significant life and do significant things. And one of the things that gets us off track is our pursuit of more. It's like God has this path and I'm wandering around over here, nowhere near the path that God has for me, because over here is where I can get more stuff. And I want to have both hands full. And so this verse says, no, man, we need to throw off everything that's hindering us from living out God's plan for our lives. We need to let go of what doesn't matter. So how do we do this? I want to give you three little phrases that I think could guide you in letting go of what doesn't matter, okay? Cut back, throw out, turn off. Cut back, throw out, turn off. And so first, we're going to cut back. What is it that you need to cut back? I don't know. I don't know what you need to cut back, but I think probably for a lot of us, it's spending and our schedules. Spending and our schedules. Maybe for you, it's spending. Because listen, better one handful with some financial margin than two handfuls with a financial noose around your neck. Better one handful with some left over at the end of the month than two handfuls with fighting and worrying and stress. I mean, how crazy is it that we buy things we don't really need with money we don't really have to impress people we don't really care about, right? And then we're in debt and we're freaking out like, I don't have enough money. And so maybe you need to cut back. Maybe you decide to no longer have cable TV. You'd survive, I think. Maybe you trade in your car for something with a lower payment. Maybe go on a cheaper vacation. Maybe not eat out so much. You would save thousands of dollars a year if you just decided we're not going to go out to eat. Or we're going to go out to eat once a week instead of a couple times. Thousands of dollars a year. Or maybe what you need to cut back is your schedule. Now, I know there's pressure, right? There's pressure to say yes to everything, to sign your kids up for everything, to go to every event. This is why when you ask somebody, hey, how you doing? How you been? The answer that we always give each other is, man, I'm good. I'm just busy. Whew, I'm just so busy, man. I'm tired. I've got so much going on. I'm busy. When was the last time you asked somebody, hey, how you doing? And that person said, man, you know what? I'm so relaxed. Like I have so much free time. I spend so much quality time with my kids. I go on a date with my wife, my husband every week. I spend time with God every day. I'm just so relaxed. Never, right? I've never heard anyone say that, right? No, what we say is, I'm good, but I'm busy. I'm tired, I'm busy. I got a lot going on. Listen to this. Jesus once said to a big group of people who were considering following him, okay? He said, come to me, all you who are weary and tired, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He says, if you follow me and do life my way, you will be a person of rest. So knowing that, do you really think his plan is for us to be so busy, I'm tired? The problem is that we are learning our way of life from our culture, not from Jesus. right? And our culture says, more is better, more is better. And so maybe it's time we cut back on our schedules and say no to some things that maybe everybody else says yes to. We have to say no to good things in order to say yes to what's better. And there's a lot of good things, but is it best? Is it really best to work all the extra hours you can and not really know your kids? Is it really best to have your kids involved in so many activities that they can't make church and children's ministry or student ministry a priority? When you cross the line into eternity, will you think that it was best to have them involved in all those activities and not focused on God? Yeah, I get it, but I want to have more money. I get it, but I want my kids to have all the opportunities they can. I get it, but I don't want to offend anyone by saying no. Yeah, I understand, but do you want a better life or not? Do you want better? If so, you have to say no to some good things so you can say yes to what's best. So, what does it look like to let go of things that don't matter? We cut back, and then second, we throw out. We're going to clean out some of the clutter, okay? Throwing out stuff like your life depends on it, because maybe it does. Did you know that they used to, in our country, they used to build, every house was built with one closet. Every house just had one closet. There was no thought that people might have more extra stuff than they could put in one closet. Today we have lots of closets, and we may have a garage that we store stuff in, and maybe we even pay every month for a storage unit. Have you watched any of the Storage Wars shows? It's fascinating because it's these storage lockers that were left behind by the owner. They stopped paying, and so they open it up, and we got to see what they left behind. What's interesting is that this person thought that stuff was so important, they paid a monthly fee to store it, and then they just forgot to keep paying the fee. Apparently, that stuff wasn't as important as they thought it was. The guy in the story that Jesus told, he stored stuff, right? He's like, my barns aren't big enough to store it. I'm going to build bigger barns. And so he stored more stuff. And God says that guy was a fool. He was a fool. And so let's listen to God. Let's learn our way of life from God. What is it that you can throw out? Maybe there's clothes that you haven't worn in a year. Throw them out. How about that thing that you bought because it was going to be so awesome and you've never used it once? I don't know. What else could you throw out? So more isn't better. Just get rid of it. We have to let go of things that don't matter. We're going to cut back, we're going to throw out, and we're going to turn off. Turn off. I don't know what you need to turn off, okay? But I'm going to guess that there is something you probably need to turn off. Maybe what you need to turn off is the TV. So think about this. How much time would you say, just in your head, nothing out loud, how much time would you say in a week that you spend reading the Bible? In a week, okay? How much time would you say, if you have kids, that you spend with your kids? Okay. How much time, if you're married, would you say you spend like on a date with your spouse where you're just really focused on each other? And how much time would you say you spend serving in church like God's asked you to? Okay, if you add up all that amount of time, okay, so Bible, serving, your kids, your spouse, is that more time or less time than you spend watching TV? If you spend more time on TV than on Bible, serving your kids and your spouse, something's wrong, right? That's obvious. It's like I'm wasting my time, my life. My life is just time, right? I'm wasting on things that don't matter. And so let's invest it, our time, our life, into what does matter. Or maybe what you need to turn off is your phone. I went there. I said it. We spend so much time playing some game on our phone or on Facebook on our phone or whatever, Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram on our phone. Like, you watch some families at a restaurant, it's like mom, dad, and two kids, and they're all on their phones. And it's like, I'm playing Words with Friends. It's like, man, that's cool, but what about some words for the people you're sitting with at the table? Here's a question. Has being on your phone ever changed your life for good? Has it ever allowed you to make a difference with your life for God? Maybe it's time to have a little bit of discipline with our phones, and I'm guilty too, to put in some rules and some limits. Like, I think maybe you could change your life by turning off your phone and investing that time in something better. Maybe you could change the world. Better is one handful with tranquility than two with toil. So, practically, how can we live a one handful life? First, we need to let go of what doesn't matter. We need to cut back, throw out, turn off. Second, we need to fight for what does matter. It's time to fight for what matters. There's a story I love in the Old Testament about a guy named Nehemiah. We actually did a whole series on him a year or two ago. And so Nehemiah realizes that the wall around his home city is in disrepair. The walls back then were what guarded your city, protected your city from incoming invasions. And so he realizes the people in my hometown, they are not protected. They are in danger. And he decides that he's going to rally everyone to rebuild the wall. He does. He gives speeches. Everyone says, "We're in." And then some bad guys show up and they try to talk everyone out of putting in the work to rebuild the wall. And so Nehemiah gives a speech to inspire everyone. He says, "Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers and your sons and your daughters and your wives and your home." And I love that. I love that. He's like, we need to fight for what's important. And we need to fight for what's important. We need to fight for what does matter. Like, don't let culture lie to you. Fight for what matters. Don't waste your life. Fight for what matters. Don't waste your time, because your time is your life. Fight for what matters. Like, for me, I just think that my life is too valuable and my calling is too great and my God is too good for me to waste my life on what doesn't matter. And I think my family is too valuable, my wife is too amazing, and my two kids are too precious for me to waste my life on things that don't matter. So we need to fight for what does matter. And what matters, listen, it's not going to be there forever. Like, you can miss your chance with what matters. Now, I want to give you a visual illustration of this. So when you have a kid, if you have a kid, if you've had a kid, man, Mondays through Fridays, most of us, it's like you have a job, you're working, and your kids have school. So weekends are big. It's like weekends are when you can really spend quality time and do stuff, and it's typically the best time you get with them. So when each of my kids was born, I knew I would have 18 years with them, and then, you know, maybe they're going to go off to college or who knows where. And so 18 years where they're in the house with me, and I get those weekends. 18 years has 936 weekends. This jar has 936 peanut butter M&Ms in it. Actually, when I put 936 M&Ms in it, I could not, the top wouldn't close. So it's a little bit, I had to take out, I ate them. I ate a few, but it really wouldn't close. I was like, oh, I guess I'm gonna have to eat a few. And so this is a little less than 930. This is how many, when my kids were born, this is how many weekends I get with them, okay? My daughter just turned 16 this month, and that means that she has 104 more weekends left with us. This is 104. This is what I have left with my daughter, because all that's gone. My son is 18. Which means he has zero weekends left. And this is what zero looks like. This is what I have left with my son. And it goes so fast. It goes so fast. But listen, this is what matters. Right? This is what matters. And I don't want to waste it on things that don't matter. And this obviously, this is not, you might be like, I don't have kids. This is not just about your kids. This is about fighting for all the things that matter. It's about investing our time and our energy and our resources into what really matters. And you only have one life here on earth, only one life to live, only so much time. So choose what's better, because your life is too valuable, your calling is too great, and your God is too good for you to waste your life on things that don't really matter. God gave you a life to live. He gave you a life to love God, love people, and turn the world upside down with. That's why God gave you your life. And so don't waste your life chasing the wind, always trying to get more. You're never going to be satisfied. You're always going to want more. Jesus says, watch out. Be on your guard against greed, because your life does not consist in the abundance of your possessions. Listen, your life can make a difference for God in the lives of others. Your life can be better. For that to happen, you're going to have to make this hard choice to live just a one handful life. And you'll discover better one handful with tranquility, better one handful with weekends with my kids, better one handful than two with toil. And I'll be honest, by my nature, I am a two-handful person. Like, if you know me, I want it all, and I'll go for it. I'll outwork you for it. I will keep going until I drop. Like, I will do it. And I've learned, sometimes the hard way, and I'm still learning, better is one handful. And better is one handful and a good marriage. Better is one handful and children who you really know. Better is one handful and making a real difference with your life. Better one handful and some intimate friends. Better one handful and a great relationship with God. Better one handful and margin. Better one handful and love than two handfuls with toil and stress and panic and greed and always wanting more and chasing after the wind. It is better, infinitely better, to have less of what doesn't matter and more of what does. It's going to be hard, so let's pray for that. Let's pray together right now for that. God, this lie is so easy to believe, so easy to fall into. Our culture is all about more. Every commercial we see, every billboard, do this, get that, you need this. It's all about getting a better car, a bigger house, nicer furniture. It's all about what we can do, and we realize that is not what's important. What's important is you, God. What's important is my family. What's important is my friends. What's important is my relationships. What's important is making a difference with my life, serving. But we're not going to have all that, which is important, if we fill our hands with what's not. God, it's going to take some hard decisions. Maybe saying, you know what, I don't need that promotion. I can be content with less salary. We don't need to buy a bigger house. We can keep driving this car. I need to turn my phone off in the evening. We need to watch less TV. This is going to be hard. But we want our lives to be better. So help us, God. Help us to choose what's better. And I pray all these things in your name. Amen.